Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness, and welcome, just super welcome so much, and thank you for selecting among so many choices in this giant media world that we live in, the Holderness Family Podcast.
Gosh, you have a lot of energy right now.
No, I mean, here's what I want to do. I want to thank people differently. Maybe it's my ADHD every single time.
Okay.
And that was a new one.
That was a new one. There was an increased volume. But we are incredibly grateful you're here. Today's a special episode. We're calling it a plog, if you will.
That's P-L-O-G. We're wondering if Kim may have invented something amazing that, I don't know, we could make. Can we make a lot of money? No, we can't.
No,
it's just, it could be a new word, though.
It could be a new word. Don't need to make money off this. But our definition of a plog. So, you know how a blog, you've been reading them from writers on the internet forever. And a blog is like a video log, and that's like a video diary of your day. We did a plog, a podcast log of Penn's journey through eye surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah. But first, before we get to this amazing plug,
yes,
if you want to order anything from our shop for Christmas, you have to order by December 15th, and that's on theholdernessfamily.com or shop Holderness.
Yeah, that's soon.
And by the way, we are both wearing our Doing the Best I Can sweatshirts right now. We did not plan this, but it is the most comfortable sweatshirt we own. It's made from recycled materials, but also we have gift cards if you miss that deadline.
Yes, and we have also been getting videos. Kim sent a bit of a Instagram story out saying, will you send us some videos of you and your family playing Family Face Off? And we got so many videos, and you guys look like you're having so much fun. Thank you, because we've always wanted to know. We made this game, and we sent it out into the universe, and we didn't know how it was being received, and now we have this visual proof that you can see on our TikTok reel as well of just people having a blast playing this game, and it warms our heart in a way I can't even describe.
I know, I get a little emotional. So you can search Amazon for Family Face Off game or go to familyfaceoff.com, but also Penn showed his age because he said TikTok reel. So it's an Instagram reel or
no,
it's a TikTok.
You know what? I meant both. And so I think what I did was save time. TikTok reel. The TikTok reel on the Google internet.
Okay, back to the interwebs.
Yep.
Earlier this week, back to our blog, Penn had surgery on his eyelids. He was having trouble seeing, especially at night. And after a trip to the doctor, it was recommended that he get this surgery. And like we said, this is going to be a plog, and it's a little different than we normally do. We're going to be mixing in some clips before and after the surgery and allow that to guide the conversation.
So let's start with 3 days before the actual surgery.
So it is Friday, December 2nd.
Yes.
We are... how many days? 3 days before your surgery.
Before the big surgery. I was going to use scalpel. So before the big scalpel.
Yeah. How are you feeling, babe?
I'm fine. You know me. I try not to think about big events in my life until right before they happen.
Right.
It's useful to me.
Yeah.
It lessens anxiety. It also allows me to be in the moment.
Mm-hmm. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. It is... I know it's not something that everyone can do, and I don't think I'm pushing it away, but this is one of those things that everyone tells me is not going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can be totally honest, I don't ever agree with them when they say that.
Okay.
It's my eyes.
Yeah.
It's they're very close to my brain.
And they are your eyes.
And they're my eyes. And they were my dad's eyes before that. And they're my daughter's eyes now. And they just genetically are droopy. Both of my parents had this surgery.
Yeah.
In their later years. Because it literally, it's like, there's some really, we were trying to explain what it's like. And it's kind of like circumcising your eyelids.
Yes, that, you're getting an eye circumcision.
That most people don't need. And then, so I guess I get a little triggered when you tell me that you're telling your friends this and they're all jealous.
Okay, so we should back up.
Yeah.
If you Google this name of the surgery, which is blepharoplasty,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying it right. There are so many celebrities that get this, and they don't. They're not doing it because they have vision problems. They're doing it because you look amazing afterwards. It's like people who get Botox for headaches. They get insurance to cover it, and wow, they have amazing foreheads now. So I initially, when you told me that you were a candidate for this and a doctor had recommended it, it was extreme jealousy because I know that I look at the before and afters online and it's celebrities that are in movies you see every day. And you're like, wow, they're in their 50s, but they look so alert and awake. Well, because they've all had this, it's, you know, all had this procedure. I will stop saying that because I know you are not getting this for cosmetic reasons.
I'm not.
Never.
It's great to hear that I'll be able to see better. And maybe that'll mean that my eyes are more exposed.
Yeah, but you are the last person to seek out. I can't get you to put on moisturizer.
That's what shaving's for.
I try to get him to put on moisturizer because we live in like a cold, dry place in the winter. And he's like, I don't need it. I shave. So, no. I'm not making my point very clear.
That's clearly. Okay.
Do you get triggered by it because you think I'm saying you're doing it for cosmetic reasons?
No, I just don't understand why anyone would be jealous of a surgery. I mean, I guess I understand what you're saying about being cosmetic. That's not why I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't have a choice at this point. At night, like the later it gets, the more that they just start drooping, and I won't like I'll miss signs, and mm-hmm. I won't see things out of the side of my eye because of how much these eyelids are like falling on the side of my face. And I mean, 30 minutes ago, you were saying you were talking to someone who was like, how did he get this covered by insurance? Like in a jealous sort of way.
Yeah, like they walked into the doctor's office and were trying to squint and the doctor was like, no, you don't pass. Yeah.
Right. So just for me, like I've spent a long time getting comfortable with my own skin and my body and who I am.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to this podcast, you know that I don't have the most perfect body image issue. It's sort of healthy, but it's not great. I don't like to look at myself naked. I look at myself probably more critically than a 48-year-old healthy man should. And so I'm afraid that when this gets done, I'm going to look and I'm going to say, oh, that's not me. Who is that? Mm-hmm. That's all. I hope I don't look that different. That's my main thing. Like maybe they can just fix it without making me look different, but I don't think that's possible.
You didn't notice your dad looking different.
Is that right?
Yeah, you didn't notice.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I didn't. Maybe I wasn't seeing him very often at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the surgery's coming up. By the way, I didn't mean to like get on you about saying that or not saying that because you're generally very supportive. And as my coworker, you've cleared the schedule for me to really make most of my content either this or just some sort of like creative writing where my musical senses will come alive and I'll turn into Ray Charles or Stevie Wonder because I'll be blind.
You
for a week,
blind.
I know. That's how I'm imagining needing to close my eyes for a while, though, won't I?
I don't know. I will say, as your partner, it's an interesting position to be in because since we've been dating, you've taken me to colonoscopies every year. You've seen me give birth to two children. You recently kind of nursed me through hand surgery. Like, I've been medically dependent on you many times. And so I other than your vasectomy, which really wasn't that drastic.
Well, we recovered by like four of us got it at the same time.
Yeah, they got it at the same time and took pain meds and drank beer. And so it was more of a celebration and a party. So this is the first time that I am having the opportunity to take care of you in that way. And it's a weird feeling because you're my baby. And I love your face and I love your eyes. And I also like don't want you to look different.
Me neither. So, like they offered me, insurance was going to cover an eyebrow lift.
That's where I get really jealous. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say it out loud.
But I didn't want it. I don't want an eyebrow lift. I would look like a 30-year-old. I'm not 30.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like you're not trying to not be your age. Whereas maybe for my 50th birthday, I'm kidding. But maybe I'm not taking it off the table. Like something.
I have no idea how much this thing costs.
Well, because, it's an insurance thing.
Yeah, because so. It's getting covered, but yeah, I imagine it's not free.
Okay. We are going to come back on Monday morning before the surgery as we're walking in, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe after the surgery?
Yeah. I imagine I'll be able to continue to talk through all of this.
Okay.
And I'll probably be up here for most of my recovery because it's quiet and there's computers and, you know, I might write some music during it. So you can just pop up and we can kind of talk through the surgery.
Okay.
Are you going to be in the room for it?
I don't think so.
You were in the room for my vasectomy. Let the record show. I'm not sure why you wanted to be there.
I wanted to make sure they were getting it done. I wanted to watch. And I don't know. He saw two children exit my body. I was like, well, I want to see the rest. And I watched the vasectomy.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. It was easy peasy.
I couldn't look down at it. I chose not to. I was just laying on my back. It was just a bunch of thumbs going to weird places for 15 minutes. And then it was over.
It's basically what it was.
It was very thummy. Very thummy. Wasn't it? Like, that's what it seemed. It was very.
No, it was like.
I guess because it's so blunt, you don't have any feeling. It felt like someone was just taking their thumbs and pressing firmly on every
like
part of my.
Like squeezing your.
Yeah.
Your.
Not great.
Balls like a. Like it had zits or something?
Sort of. It's confusing. And it really hurt afterwards.
Okay. So hopefully it just feels like thumbs on your eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The old thummy vasectomy.
A lot of thumbs up in there. And remarkably, I, who witnessed it, just saw the two thumbs. And I don't think he was really heavy-handed in his thumbing in the vasectomy procedure.
Well, much like the vasectomy, this eye surgery is around a sensitive part of the body. Let's put it that way. And so they have to numb you up in a lot of places. And I'm not looking at what's going on. So it just feels like if someone was thumbing around.
Okay.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Okay. Let's just make sure you guys know the background of the surgery and what it's called. This is according to the Mayo Clinic. It's blepharoplasty is the type of surgery. And it removes the excess skin from the eyelids.
Yeah, it does.
Therefore, the circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
With age, eyelids stretch and the muscles supporting them weaken. As a result, the excess skin and fat can gather below your eyelids. Ugh. Very good.
I've not read this before. This is gross.
Yes. According to plasticsurgery.com, it is one of the most performed procedures, which was not surprising after Penn heard from so many people the weekend before when he was at a party that had it done.
Yes, that was very interesting. And this was maybe like the night before or two mm-hmm. nights before. Mm-hmm. And it was a Christmas party. And I was just telling people, hey, I'm going to be out of commish here for a little while. And it was the first time I had actually talked about it. I don't know what we're going to get to that later about why I didn't really want to talk about it a lot. Mm-hmm. But everyone else who I was speaking to was incredibly open about it. They'd all used the same doctor. It was the doctor that I was using. And they were super thrilled. Anyway, why don't we go to the night before?
Yeah.
And hear more about what kind of the feelings were before surgery.
Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, it's Sunday evening, the evening before the surgery. How are you feeling?
Hey, Kim. I feel nervous.
You feel nervous?
So I don't have anything to distract me anymore. I had movies. And I had, I watched some football today, and then I had like a little bit of a thumper from the Christmas party last night.
So a thumper is code word for a hangover.
Which I don't normally get. It wasn't a big one, but
yeah. But
now I'm about to go to sleep, and when I wake up in the morning, we're going to drive around, and then it happens. And I don't know, knives and doctors. I know that like this guy's supposed to be a great doctor, but I always get nervous. I do.
Okay. That's fair. It's a fair emotion.
I had some people like at this Christmas party who told me that they had had apparently more people than you realize have had this surgery.
Yeah.
But all of them got it because they wanted to look better, I believe.
Yeah.
Mine is because I can't see out the side of my eyes.
I know. I think it's very important to you for people to know that you're not doing this cosmetically. But also, I don't judge people who get this done cosmetically.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm glad you said that because I don't either. If you can show me someone who's 100% comfortable in their own skin with how they look and what their life is like, that is a happy person. And I think that is a rare person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, I think you look great.
I do too. And thank you. I just hope I don't come out of it and I look like, I'm just trying to think of like, there was a movie called For Your Consideration. It was a Christopher Guest movie.
Yeah.
And this girl got like crazy Botox right after she became famous and she couldn't stop smiling. She was like, she was really sad. It was Margaret O'Hara. And
Catherine O'Hara.
Yep, that's the one.
Margaret O'Hara, I think, wrote Gone with the Wind.
Nope, that's Scarlett O'Hara.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But Margaret.
Just says, oh, it's just God, a random Irish person. This is a bad interview. Okay, we confused about nine people.
Margaret Mitchell wrote Gone with the Wind.
Scarlett O'Hara. You said Scarlett O'Hare last time we were talking. Scarlett O'Hara. Is it Scarlett O'Hare or Scarlett O'Hara?
O'Hara.
And they lived on Tara.
Tara. It's been a minute. Anyway, so can I just back to the surgery talk here real quick? This is the second time we're hearing an audio recording, but probably the 100th time I've heard personally from you that you wanted to make sure people knew that this was medically necessary. It wasn't cosmetic. It was medically necessary. But why do you think, because so many of our friends have had it cosmetically, you know, and so many celebrities have had it, why do you think it's important for you? Why do you think it bothers you so much that people would think that you were doing it cosmetically?
First of all, I don't think I said it 100 times, but I did say it a lot. Like it was, I started noticing once you pointed this out to me that I have been qualifying it a bunch, right? And the fact is, and I'm going to do it again. It was covered by insurance. It was a medical process, but it is, if you look at it, it's plastic surgery,
right?
It's medical plastic surgery. So what do men think when they think plastic surgery? So knowing that I was going to ask this question, I did some very thorough research. And by thorough, I mean I Googled why don't men do plastic surgery. And check this out. The first article that came up was not a medical journal. It was a plastic surgery center called North Shore Aesthetics.
Is that like in Hawaii?
If it is, I'd like to give them as much publicity as possible, and maybe they'll fly me up there for a commercial or something, and I can be in Hawaii for a while.
It's probably the North Shore of Shelly Lake, which is in Raleigh, North Carolina, and it's Shelly Lake. You can't even swim in.
All right, it's got an area code. We're going to look it up, and we're going to find out where they are. All right, so the area code is 847 North Shore Aesthetics is in Illinois?
So not Hawaii. Anyway.
Wait,
so,
is that really right?
Yeah, anyway, let's move on. Move on.
Oh, so maybe the North Shore of Lake Michigan.
Which is lovely, I'm sure.
Okay, it's not Hawaii. Let's
let's say it's Hawaii. Great.
Can I just say whoever's in charge of the SEO for this website, well done, because it's the first thing that popped up. And it's this two sentences that I read that I think are very accurate.
Okay.
One of the reasons many men avoid seeing a plastic surgeon is because of society's expectation that men should be content with themselves no matter what they look like. Mm. A man who isn't happy with his appearance can be perceived as insecure and sometimes weak.
Mm.
However, that outdated perception is starting to fall by the wayside, as some men are merely seeking to look natural. Here's the sales part. Looking to look natural younger and shift their looks to be more in line with their desired appearance. So
let's go back to that first part.
Yeah, yeah. Because the second part, I don't know if I'm there yet. The first part is 100%, I think, the reason why I've been doing this. And I'm also ready to say, after reading that, which I did before we started this, I need to make some admissions.
Okay.
Especially after hearing what we just heard. Yes, I am medically cleared for this and I'm getting insured for it. But I also didn't like the way that my eyes looked.
Okay.
They were drooped. It was like foreskin hanging off the side of my eye. And I'm probably the only one who notices it. And isn't that what happens with women too? Like with everybody?
All of us. Like it's human nature.
You're your biggest critic. So I'll admit, I didn't like the way I looked. I was like, what's going on? It was a lot of times because I'm on camera a lot. And a lot of times I'm just listening to you talk on camera, or I'm looking off to the side. I'm not looking straight at the camera. And when I do that, it looks like someone punched me in the side of the face, and there's like a hooded situation, like going straight down.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from the fact that it made me have to like lift my eyebrows up when I drive at night, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to say out loud, yes, it's not elective, but I'm getting plastic surgery and I really shouldn't be ashamed of that. Nor should any man. But there is that stigma. And I don't think I realized it until I read it.
I will tell you, we have tried our very, very best to raise children that have positive body images. And we had very clear conversations. And I even talked with therapists and psychologists about this, about how we talk about food and our own bodies in this house. And I kept on saying, I don't want my daughter to, have the body image issues that I have, and I don't want her to have this distorted view of herself. I want her to have a healthy relationship with food. And every single one of them quickly corrected. They're like, but your son can have this too. Boys have a distorted body image too. Boys have but they don't talk about it as much.
Yeah.
Because it isn't as socially acceptable for men to have this vanity, maybe. I think that's changing, because I do think I love that there are these specialized male hair salons, and they really take pride in the hair. I think that men's fashion has come a long way.
Yeah.
I think that men should absolutely be allowed to be concerned what they look like. Also, more power to you if you don't care.
Yeah.
But you're not immune to that.
You don't know something crazy?
Hmm.
So you heard me say I had this conversation with some people at this party that we had, and it was mostly women who were telling me about it. And then I learned after that, a couple of my friends are now looking, female friends were looking at this doctor and trying to do it. So that made me feel a little bit less alone when it came to this thing. And then yesterday, a person who I know who is roughly my age, actually a little bit older, who I respect more than anybody on the planet, mm-hmm. who is in... I thought more comfortable with himself than anyone, because he's damn near perfect.
he idolizes this person.
Yes. He's I've known him since I was a kid. So I'm talking to him yesterday. I tell him what I'm doing. And he asks me.
Well, you sat next to him.
Yeah. I sat next to him at a game. He asks me for the doctor's number. And I'm like, you know what? First of all, I think, like, I idolize him. He's probably super comfortable. But as he's telling me about it, he goes, oh, yeah, my wife really wants me to do this. So even he, I think, was saying, like, I'm putting this on my wife.
Right.
And I don't think, right. Yeah. I don't think he's said yet, I want to get this because my eyes are droopy on the side of my face. Mm-hmm. So I think all, like, even the most confident and successful of us have trouble with this.
Yeah.
And so I'm here to say, I'm getting this surgery, and I got this surgery, and I did it partially because I didn't love the way I looked.
Well, thank you for admitting that.
It was a journey.
That was a journey.
In fact, we're going to listen to more clips, and I bet I'm going to qualify myself 16 more times. So I want to apologize ahead of time for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, you do such a great job about not getting super anxious about something until right before it happens.
Yeah.
By the way, anxious, your level of anxiety was so low compared to what I have a tendency. My brain skips ahead. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we're planning a trip next summer. We'd love to take the kids to Europe, maybe see some of our amazing race locations. I'm already anxious about, like, getting that stuff planned. Yeah. I skip ahead, which does nobody any good. So you started to get a little nervous. I would admit at this point, I was starting to get a little nervous too, because as you heard in that clip, I do love the way you look. I love your, you know, I loved your uncircumcised eyes, and I was nervous that you would look different, and I didn't want you to look different.
Yeah. And I mean, just to clarify, I could have medically qualified for, as we heard, an eyebrow lift as well. And I did not want that. I wanted something as basic as possible to allow me to see better at night, to let more light into my eyes. But again, I don't mind saying to make me look a little less crazy out of the side of my eyes.
Okay. Our next clip is on the way to the procedure.
Yeah. And this is, by the way, you were asking about how I don't really get nervous until right before. I think I have sort of like a 24-hour, like, moratorium. Like, I don't think about anything until 24 hours before it happens. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's from, like, my news days or something.
I don't know. Just, well, like, I worked in news cycle as long as you did, and that doesn't, yeah.
Right. But we are inside that 24-hour window right now. You're about to hear me answering a question that Kim asked, and her question was, how do you feel about this versus the time that you got your vasectomy? Because that's the last time I remember a surgery. And I was telling her that I was more nervous about this than I was about my vasectomy. And she very wisely asked, what and why?
Why do you think that is?
It's closer to my brain.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like, you know what? It's things that more people look at than...
than your vasectomy.
Right. Husband. That one's really mainly, I mean, one person has access to that, and there's the face is just, I don't know. I don't know. I really shouldn't be worried. Everyone I talk to tells me it's not a big deal. This is probably irrational. That is all.
Okay. That's the second time you've mentioned it's close to your brain. Were you worried about him going through your eye hole?
Well, I had not.
To your brain?
Great question. You know how some people like to watch the procedure before it happens? I am a strict no-go on that. Mm-hmm. When I get dry needled, I look away. When I get a shot, like a, you know, the booster shot or COVID shot, I look away. I don't like seeing things go into my body. I'm a don't ask, don't tell kind of guy when it comes to this surgery. And so I think once I was driving up there, it became real to me that I didn't have a lot of knowledge of it. And yeah, there's a ton of blood up there, right? Isn't there like a rule that there's like more blood in your brain area than anywhere else?
We are not doctors. That is not that pod. We are not that podcast.
And there's like a hole in your, I mean, I know the skull protects you, but there's like holes in your skull, and one of them is right by your eyes.
So, okay. Yeah. So that was on the way to the procedure. Just to set the scene for you, we're going to an ophthalmology office. So we walk in. It's a pretty big waiting room. They call us back to a smaller waiting room. Mm-hmm. Which was packed, every seat taken. There's probably 10 seats there. But we were walking past people getting eye exams.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where they have like a part of the lobby where they will sell you eyeglasses. Literally, it felt as if Penn was getting surgery in the back of a Warby Parker.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not Warby Parker, by the way. But the same vibe,
right,
in this office.
It was, and I didn't have to be there. So there were two different options.
That's correct.
Right? There was a general anesthesia option and a local anesthesia option. And the general, you go to a hospital and you get put under.
Right.
I did not get put under. I did the local anesthesia. A lot of people look at me funny when I did that, and maybe that would have helped my vibe. But when I talked to the doctor about it, I said, where are you more comfortable? He said, honestly, it doesn't matter to me either way. He's like, it's kind of nice to do it in my office because I don't have to go to the hospital. I don't like going to the hospital. And that's all I had to hear. So if you feel more, if you like doing it somewhere else, that's where I want you doing it.
Yes. And so that, I think that is the part that everybody's eyes kind of widen when I say, Penn just got a numbing cream on his eyelids that they let set in, and they gave him a Valium.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him a Valium, so he sat there for about 20, 30 minutes to let that kick in.
Not even.
Maybe 15.
Yeah.
And then they got to work. And I took a picture of you because they put you in, it looked like the chair you're sitting at the dentist. And you were in there and I was like, oh, there's my baby. But where the waiting room was, it was directly across the hall.
You could see in here.
I could see it. And they closed the door, obviously, for the procedure. But I could hear you talking the whole time. I could hear the doctor talking the whole time. It took about an hour. And then they called me back in.
But while I was out, there was something apparently that I was very adamant about, right?
Right. And let me tell you this. Can I tell you? If you guys have seen the movie Old School, there was a scene that Will Ferrell's character was kind of going off the deep end. He was going through a rough time. So he showed up intoxicated to a child's birthday party. And he accidentally got hit with a trank dart that was meant for one of the petting zoo animals. And he was like really kind of like stubborn.
I love you, man.
But
you're crazy. And then he takes his arm and he throws a little kid out of the way and he jumps in the pool.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
it was
like
amazing.
Kind of, so he was just like, I love you, man. But just like this big, loud, drunk presence. That is my husband.
Thank you.
When the doctor called me back in. He had the doctor call me back. And he wanted to take pictures of the skin that had been detached from his eyelids. He's very zoned out because they gave him a Valium.
But I did see the skin.
We don't need to talk about it.
I don't know. So have you guys ever eaten ramen? It's crazy. Like I think I irritated the rest of the people at the office because I was exposed. I thought it was just going to be a little bit of skin. I yelled out, oh, my God, really, really loud. I know.
It started to panic the other patients.
We need to make that picture available.
No, we're not.
Yes, we do.
I would say, how are you feeling, babe?
If you want to see the picture, DM me and I'll send you the picture.
Okay. How was it?
I think it was fine. Like, I really trust this doctor. Like, he seemed very chill. He was making some weird noises with his mouth because he was right by my face. So I was like, are those nervous noises? And he goes, no, I don't make noises. And his assistant was like, oh, yeah, you make noises. And then it made me think of me and you and our conversations that we have while I'm eating dinner.
Yeah.
They gave me a Valium, which I don't know if that was enough.
I don't think a Valium's not going to take the pain away. It's going to help you stop caring about the pain.
Right, but I still care a little bit. I totally forgot that I told you the story about the noises that the doctor was making with his mouth.
So, do you remember this conversation at all?
Not really. No, of course not. I definitely don't remember telling you. I do remember everything that happened. I remember seeing the eyelids and being totally
fascinated by it. And I was trying to, so again, he was awake for this procedure and just a numbing cream and a Valium. And then I had to get this, Penn is 6'5" and very gregarious. So like a 6'5" golden retriever puppy on Valium. And I'm walking him through like a crowded waiting room, through people getting eye exams, again, through like a Warby Parker to get him into the car. And he was very chatty, and it was very, very funny.
Well, yeah, I also...
It was very funny.
Thank God. I think if I'm not going to get general anesthesia, at least they gave me something to chill me out a little bit, which 1,000%. I'm not normally used to. I also, it's so funny, I'm remembering even more of it now, but when I was talking to him about the noises he was making with his mouth, and then his assistant said something, I felt at home. Yeah. I felt at home because if I eat soup too loud or if I make like small noises, my wife will always, or my daughter especially, like everyone in my family is like, you make a lot of noises when you're not aware of it. Apparently when I pose for a picture and I smile, I do a silent laugh to myself.
Not silent.
Well, okay. I thought it was silent. I didn't think I was saying anything. But yeah, I would imagine like anytime someone's like trying to concentrate, I think sometimes they just make noises. That's probably his superpower. So I don't want to discourage him. I want him to continue doing what he does.
Okay. I want to back you up for a second.
Yeah,
so they had called me back into the office to see you and you were holding up a mirror. He had just handed it to you.
Yeah.
And you were getting a look at yourself for the first time. What were your thoughts? Because you looked pretty beat up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I got worse and worse as the week went on. But at that moment, I had prepared myself for just bloody disaster, like Frankenstein, right? That's what I thought I was going to see. And it lived up to its expectations to some point, but also it looked clean.
Right.
I guess that's what makes the most sense.
I would say it looked as if somebody had taken a purple Sharpie, and which he probably did, you know, to mark your eyelids.
No, he did. He drew a lot of stuff on my eye.
He said before the surgery, he marked his eyelids. So it looked like a purple Sharpie at the crease of the eyelid. Obviously, it was red, and it had started to swell. There was no bruising yet, but it looked as if you had a lot of eye makeup on, and that's kind of how I would describe it. So later that day, we get him home, and the instructions were for, like, he recommended just like a bag of frozen peas on for 30 minutes and then off for 30 minutes. So
yeah, so I invented a contraption. You might hear about that in a whatever. You might hear about that in a second. So why don't we just play the clip from the day after?
Okay.
And let's fill in the blanks.
I like that.
Once we hear what I said. So this is 24 hours after the surgery. You're going to hear about some of the hacks, also some of the things my wife had been doing, because God bless her, man.
It is the day after surgery. It's been exactly 24 hours. I'm going to describe to you what I'm seeing right now. I'm sitting in my office, and across from me is my husband, except for he has two bags of frozen peas secured with an ace bandage wrapped around his face. So blindfolded with frozen peas. And he's looking great. He says his senses have come alive. Penn, how are you feeling?
Hey, Kim. Is there a microphone near my face?
Yes, or,
okay. I feel great. That's a lie. It's been like about a little bit more than 24 hours. And all the things, first of all, if I sound nasal, it's because the peas are pressing on my nose. Mm-hmm. But the doctor who we've talked since the surgery, right? Like the surgery went great. He kept me at ease. I don't know if I loved too much being awake during it, because the smell of burning eyelids is pretty real. And so I got to smell those, but it went pretty quick. And you know, there's just this kind of line where they cut it off that's pretty dark purple right now. I look like Robert Smith, the lead singer of The Cure, a little bit like that. And what he told me was the most important thing was going to be for the next day to just really own the whole icing of the eyes thing, because of swelling. The bruising you can't really do anything about. You're just going to look like you got beat up. But the swelling, you can put these things on your eyes. So I figured out that if I took like that gauze stuff that you wrap and use that to just kind of permanently attach the peas to my face, that I can walk around. I have use of both of my hands. I can sit straight up and all that stuff. Last night I had to sleep sitting up, which was a new experience. Right, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
And it hurt my lower back a little bit, but I think after a little while, I got used to it, and I think I got probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 hours of sleep. So it's funny, like this thing, I guess, you know, the surgeons spend 15 minutes and they tell you, like, you really have to rock the next 36 hours as far as, like, keeping your head up and icing it down. Yeah, as you said, my other senses have come alive. I walked all the way downstairs.
Blindfolded.
And I'm sitting in the office, and I'm working again, because in this business, you just keep working.
Well, you don't have to work, except for I need you to do like two things.
That's work, Eddie.
I know.
You're describing work.
Just helping me find files. But I have to say, as a wife, it is not as swollen as I thought they'd be. Like, I Google search before and afters and like day-by-day recovery. So it has definitely looked like my daughter put on like a lot of makeup on him. Looks like she went crazy with the eyeshadow. But other than that, like, it looks pretty good.
That was the day after.
Mm-hmm.
The day after was the worst that I felt.
Okay.
Because the Valium had worn off, you know, sleeping was kind of tough. the area was getting like a little crusty, and then I felt better as that went on. Mm-hmm. That was day two, right? Day three was the worst I looked. Okay. You didn't start looking bad until the third day after the surgery, and then all of a sudden you wake up. And they said it was all like written on a piece of paper. Swelling and bruising will get worse on the third day. And then bam,
it did.
I woke up and I'm like, holy crap, I look terrible. And then the swelling went down, and now it's just like weird. I just look like I've been drawn on again.
I will say the third day you were pretty swollen, but by day four, your swelling had gone down to the point where, like, for example, I had really salty meal last night. Mm-hmm. I look more puffy this morning than you did on day four.
You may look more puffy, but yeah, the bruises are still there.
Yeah, so I think the bruises were kind of heightened day four and five. I will say by day three, you were driving. You wanted to get out of the house.
Yes.
You did a workout on day three.
Yep, a very light
one. A light workout on day three. You wanted to get out of the house. Is that the day you went to PC's basketball game?
Yep.
So on day three,
Thursday and Friday, I was in the scorer's table.
He was the scorekeeper at our son's basketball game. He wore sunglasses so he didn't freak anybody out because it looks like he has black eyes.
It still looks like that.
No, but now I will say we're on day six, mm-hmm. So tomorrow is a week. You have some bruising underneath, which maybe the doctor can explain because you didn't get anything on the lower. Maybe he was all thummy underneath your eyes.
I think it was thummy again. I think docs are just really thummy with their surgery. And I was at a basketball game yesterday, and I wore sunglasses to that game too. I took it off, and everyone was like, that's not where I would expect the bruising to be. And my answer is yes, that's correct. I mean, maybe when I was on Valium, he was just like, you know what, dude, you're getting kind of annoying. And he punched me in the face twice. No. No, I don't think so. I'm guessing this is common. In fact, it's common for you to have bruising for 2 or 3 weeks after, depending on your age and what condition your skin is in. And I ain't no spring chicken, so that could be it too.
So what were some of the biggest challenges for you this week?
Sleeping was a thing until we used some aid for me to sleep. I don't love someone owing me something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't love that you had to do all this stuff.
And I mean owing? That was my pleasure.
You know what I mean? But I would rather that not be part of my life. I like being independent. Let's put it that way. That part was a challenge. And by the way, you cared for me with a lot of love and you were great. You like, have we talked about your nesting yet?
Well, I got very, last weekend,
your
I got
nesting was so
very
cute.
Productive. Yeah. And I also just knew that I would be doing, or I expected that I would be do a full week of the carpool driving, and our kids are both in sports. So it's like picking up and dropping. And that's just a lot for, and they're in two different schools because she's in high school, he's in middle school.
Right.
So I pre-made, I suck at meal planning.
This was so cute though. This was on the Sunday before the surgery. You were in the kitchen all day and you made like three meals, and then you bought these cute little plastic
containers.
Little containers with the little caps on them, and you made like six or seven or eight little meals, not just for me, but for the rest of the family, because you knew that you had to do basically everything for these next 2 days and you didn't want your family eating crap. And so you cooked and like pre-made these meals.
Well, especially for you to have lunches that you aren't just eating DoorDash. Yeah.
To your point, it was adorable. I loved it. You asked me what my challenge was. My challenge is I don't ever want to feel beholden to somebody because I'm not doing my part. And that may be one of the reasons I tried to kind of jump back in a little bit earlier. So that was one of the challenges. The other one is just looking at yourself in the mirror every day, especially like on day one, you're like, okay, this isn't going to be too bad. Day two, you're like, okay, this isn't getting any better. Day three, oh my God, it's gotten 20 times worse. Day four, okay, I look like I'm at a Kiss concert because my eyes are completely black. So just the seeing it get worse before it gets better, I can't imagine that feels good for anybody. You probably ask yourself the question, did they do something wrong? Unless you're the smart people who did it for me and wrote out in capital letters, this is going to happen. Even when you see that, it sucks.
Can I tell you though?
What?
Okay. I'm not trying to take away your experience here of like looking at yourself in the mirror and you're like, this is not me. Like, you don't identify with yourself. And it's an out of body, weird, weird thing. That is seeing your pregnant self.
Sure.
And
oh yeah.
Most dramatically post pregnancy. Because when you're pregnant, it's almost adorable because it's like you're belly is like cute and perky after the baby because there's no baby there. It looks like a deflated.
Like you think it's supposed to get better and it doesn't look that.
Yeah, and it doesn't. You're like, where? Because there's no baby anymore to have a perky belly. It's saggy. And anyway,
oh my.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. That's so.
Well, but
thank you for sharing that.
Well, yeah. So that's kind of what that's like. Also, like, I have to thank you for being open and sharing that. Yeah, this was, in fact, for reasons that you wanted to look better.
It wasn't the only reason.
Yeah.
But it was a reason.
Yeah.
It was definitely. I mean, I had a doctor tell me that I had this. And then I started thinking about it, and then I started looking at it, and I it was something that when I was done with it, I was hoping that I looked a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yep. It was, even though God, I'm doing it again. Even though it was a medical condition.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So we're on the other side of this, and it's been almost a week since the surgery. And if anyone gets this, first of all, I hope that all of this made sense. I hope that we're explaining it correctly. In whatever area you consume this, if there's a comment section and you want to talk about yours, particularly if you're a dude, I think that's like a good place to do it. You wanted us both to think about this, about is it harder to care for someone or to be cared for, right?
Yes. And I think I know your answer. You do not like to be cared for.
I don't. But in this case, you were so wonderful. And I absolutely loved it. But you're right, because it's just being beholden. It's hard.
I hate that you feel like it's beholden, because it's like what somebody does when they love you.
Yeah, but okay, let me give you an example. Here it is, because I love you. But then that ends, and there's like a point where like you stop being cared for and you're back to like, you need to get off your butt and do this. Mm-hmm. That everyone has to have. Like, that's a natural transition, which I don't know if we've nailed that yet.
So here's my issue. Is that I, and we had a little bit of a fight this week. I meal prepped. I did carpal stuff with zero, like happy to do it. There was zero part of me that, but then, so like Wednesday you did a light workout. I think Thursday you played tennis. And then Friday.
Did not play tennis on Thursday.
You played tennis at some point.
Nope.
You did, or maybe you did another workout on Thursday. And then Friday, you went for, we had a very busy day, but you checked out for a little bit to go play some tennis. And that's where I was like, wait a second, I'm sitting here doing all this work, but you're obviously okay. And when I brought something up, they were like, this was supposed to be my day off. And I was like, that's when I was like, okay, I guess we're done with caretaking now. And if we're done with caretaking, let's freaking wrap it up. So that's where it got hard.
Well, it got hard because I didn't say this was supposed to be our day off. I had done some work. I thought you were done. I thought that we were both done when this happened, right? I thought we were finished. And when I heard that we weren't, it was definitely a different tone that I got. You told me that you resented me. You told me that I had spent all week daydreaming, which I resented because I was actually working this week. So yeah, that turned into a fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but by daydreaming, I mean he has a project that we're actually very excited about, but he had time to work on that as opposed to the other stuff.
And isn't it amazing if you'd said that I would have heard that differently.
But that's how when we were driving to the procedure, I'm like, don't work this week. Don't do anything. And you said you wanted to work on this musical project. And I said, do it. Daydream about it. Like, so I was saying it as like, do whatever you want, but no, there's no pressure to do it. And that's what I meant by daydreaming. Like, you got time. You have the luxury of like, if this works, great. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, that's what I meant by it.
Well, I think we were in a heightened sense of irritation, partially because I gave you the wrong amount of time that I was going to be gone. So mm-hmm. I'll take the heat on that. But also in from the words out of your mouth, it's not what you say, it's how you said it. When you said it, you definitely said it like daydreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we got on the other side of that. But no, to your point, like, I'm glad we're talking about this because that is one of the reasons I don't like it, because when I'm feeling better, the light switch turns back off, and it sometimes, like, we don't know when that happens, and when it does, there can be resentment, right?
Well, again, I didn't resent the care. It was I was still, you know, because we do, I think, better than most because of the way our job is set up. we are very 50-50 when it comes mm-hmm. to, and it almost has, like, it almost has to be just because of our kids are in two different schools and people do this all the time anyway, but because we both work full time, we both have to do it. So when I was still then doing it, and I was like, that's when it got a little funky.
Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, here's what I needed to tell you. Mm-hmm. Let's go back in time on Friday, because what sucks, I know I said the hardest thing and I'm going to change my answer. What sucks isn't being cared for and knowing when it's over. What sucks isn't looking at yourself in the mirror. For me, what sucks the most is not being able to get out of the house and do something physical, like do some activities.
Yeah, I get that.
It is, for me, man, if I ever, God help you, if I ever have an injury where I can't get exercise for more than a week.
I know. Yeah. Totally. It's
because I am.
I think humans are. I mean, even my
for
mom,
sure.
Yeah, who had ankle surgery, like that, she fell into like a depression because she couldn't move around.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm sitting here right now. I'm glad we did this podcast, but I'm sitting here thinking, what can I do today to get moving?
Yeah, me too.
And I know you are too. So, mm-hmm. anyway, I think it's hard. I think it is harder for me to be cared for. Mm-hmm. What about you? Same. You're so good at caring for people.
I don't love asking for help. Yeah. So I do have trouble being cared for, but I also don't. My hand surgery, I think, was the most painful thing I'd ever had to recover from. And I had trouble asking for help there, but also it was incredibly painful. So you don't want that.
Yeah.
But I would prefer my family. I don't know. That's a really good question. But
do you think it would help us if, like, when we're doing this, we actually have, like, either on the calendar or, like, a fun little timer, like, the end of your period, of, like, the end of the grace period?
Well, no, because I have to say, I couldn't drive after the hand surgery for several days. And then when I could drive...
Okay, I'll be honest. This was more for me.
Okay.
Because you're great about it. You just, you don't like asking for help from day one.
Yeah.
This is like more for me because I don't ever want to seem like a burden to you or like I'm taking advantage of something.
No, but also like you don't know when you're recovering from something. No, you don't need to do that.
I did wake up this morning with a bunch of blood on my face. That was fun.
Oh, gross. Anyway, hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this plog that went a little off the rails at the end. And I apologize for that. You know what I thought was adorable? We did a podcast a couple weeks ago that I actually really, and it was like kind of our holiday, you know, secret contract talk, and I said at the end, nobody's going to listen this far, and then everybody sent me screenshots. I loved that, and I love you, and I hope I got to reply to all of them. So anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah, I'm hoping to hear everyone's feedback on this. I mean, and I want all of it. Like, I want, hey, thanks for talking about this. It could also be, Penn, what are you doing? You look great. Why did you do this? And like, I don't care.
Or Penn, you...
I don't care. I want to hear all of it. I want to hear all of it. I know not everybody believes in this type of thing. I'm just going to tell you right now, I can see better at night. So hallelujah for that. And also, I don't care about it. I think my eyes look better now. So suck it.
Okay. Bye, guys.
But please comment. But also,
suck it.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.